I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 16. Surprise! I didn't know that this morning. It really was a surprise. But glad you all came back, even though you didn't know who was preaching. And some of you may have thought it was me, yet you still came tonight. But I know it's for our graduates' sake. But we always like to preach the Bible during our church service. So I'm excited about the opportunity to preach tonight. I want to brag on Brother Wiggins just for a second. Brother Wiggins, of course, our associate pastor. And he does so much stuff that most people don't realize. I asked him on Thursday or Friday, maybe it was yesterday, I said, Brother Wiggins, will you sing Will You Be the One on Sunday nights? A song he's only sang one time. It's because I asked him to sing about 3 or 4 years ago at a youth rally. And I texted him this afternoon and said, are you going to sing that? And he said, I'm going to sing something different. So when he started singing that song, it meant a lot to me. Because I know that meant he worked at it to be able to sing a song. And for our teenagers' sake, that's a great song, but Will You Be the One, isn't it? But Brother Wiggins is my friend. He's not just a co-worker, but he's my friend. I'm thankful to say that about him. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. Time's limited tonight. I really want to ask you a question. And of course, the message is catered to the teenagers, to the seniors, but every Bible message is for us. And as I'm preaching this, I know that there'll be some parts that do speak to the seniors, but it's also something God uses in my life, and it's a thought that I've heard before, and I don't think it's ever been preached from the pulpit. I've never preached this before. But the question is very simple. Will you consider the prophet? Will you consider the prophet? Not P-R-O-P-H-E-T, like the prophet in the Old Testament, the prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T. Consider the prophet. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. The Bible says, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Bible asks this interesting question here. And the Bible uses these couple words that we want to look at tonight. Verse number 26, the Bible says, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? I had the privilege when I was in college, I've said this before, but I had the privilege to work at a mattress store. And I dealt with numbers, and I dealt with margins, and I dealt with employee expenses, and payrolls, and advertising, and all that stuff I learned about that a lot of you deal with all the time. And you know, there's some times where we would have a lot of gain in a month. We may have a good day. We may put on a big sale, and we may have lots of money come in, but we didn't make a good profit. Because we spent a lot of time trying to get and get and get and gain, but when it came down to the bottom line, the profit wasn't what we expected. I remember we had two mattress stores. One was in the south part of town, one was in the north part of town, both in kind of more of, I don't know the right word to use, but more hillbilly, redneck-style areas of Knoxville, Tennessee. And so it was fun when I was there. I wore a pair of jeans, usually had a hole in them, and I'd kind of talk with a little bit of an accent, like, how are y'all doing today? That was kind of the way they walked in the store. We decided one day we wanted to build a new store. We went to the rich part of town. It was out in Farragut. Most of you have no idea where that's at, but it's a rich part of Knoxville. And I remember that we went from $2,000 a month rent to $11,000 a month rent. And of course we thought, well, you know what, we'll gain more, and we'll still profit more. But the problem was we didn't do a good job of considering the cost. Considering the cost. I give that as an example to you because that's the mindset I believe here the Lord's speaking of. See, in our lives, there's so often that we think about the gain. We think about the temporary gain in our lives of doing something. But we don't ever really consider the profit. We don't consider the bottom line, if you would. See, the Lord says to his disciples in verse 24, he says, if any man will come after me. See, that's easy. Everybody wants to follow after Jesus. But I like the crowd. If you go back just a few verses, look at verse number 21. The Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. See, the Lord says to his disciples, hey, it's been okay from here, but I want you to know that I'm about to be crucified and killed by the scribes, the Pharisees, the prophets. And Peter, of course, Peter's the one that speaks of verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. I can just imagine Peter saying, no, Lord, it doesn't work like this. Can you imagine? And the Lord rebukes him. Look at verse 23. He said, and turned and said, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. See, the Lord just said to him, I'm going to suffer because there's a great prophet that you don't realize yet. I'm going to die on the cross for your sins, Peter. I'm going, disciples, to lay down my life so that you can have eternal life. But see, the gain was, we don't want to lose Jesus. But there was more than just a gain here involved. The Lord was considering the prophet. The Lord is concerned the bottom line, which was he was going to the cross. So with that thought in mind, then he turned to the disciples in verse 24 and he says, if any man will come after me, as Christians, we are considered to be Christ followers, little Christ. And if we want to follow Jesus, then all of us should say, yes, I want to follow after you. And he says this, if any man will come after me, and the very first thing is so hard, let him deny himself. Seniors, we talked this morning about Colossians chapter 3, and the Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the throne of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things that are earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, in our lives, we are trying everything we do to figure out how to get on top. We are trying to do everything we can to do. We asked the question this morning, and we hear it all the time. What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do with your life? And I think in our culture, we have emphasized you, 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 me, 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 I. And it's all about what do you want to do. But see, that's the exact opposite of what our Lord said. Our Lord said, you want to follow me? Listen, I want to tell you something. First of all, you got to deny yourself. You got to deny yourself. And see, most of us at that qualification right there, we kind of just wipe our hands and walk away and said, well, I mean, I want to follow you, Lord, but I'm not really interested in denying myself. See, if you go through the New Testament, it's a constant theme in the New Testament. I'll give you some references here if you want to look them up later, you want to listen to them. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. I protest by rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul said, look, if I'm alive, that's great. But if I die, it's gain because I'm pleasing the Lord decides to take me, then that's really gain. That's profit. Because I'm following the Lord, and that's what God has for my life. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. See, our entire lives, we are doing everything we can to hold on to our life, to hold on to my rights. This is what I want to do. We talked this morning, I know Greg's interested in auto mechanics. And I know that Ricky's interested in law enforcement, electrician. And Dayton knows God's calling the ministry. And Josh is just trying to figure out what God has for his life. And I know we talked about that in Sunday school today, but you know the thing I told all of them? You know, that's wonderful, but is that what God wants for your life? And see, you may say, well, I want to be a preacher. Does God want you to be a preacher? You say, well, I want to be an electrician. Fantastic. Does God want you to be an electrician? See, I know sometimes there's this misnomer. I know in youth departments, sometimes I talk to friends, and they are so excited, and I am too, but every young man is called to ministry in our church, is called to preach. But do you know, in my heart, I mean this. I am no more proud of Dayton for going to Norris to study the Bible than I am for Sabrina to go to Midwestern to study pre-law. I'm pre-medicine. I'm no more. I'm no more proud because here's the question. All they have to do is find out, what does God want for my life? And they have to do that. Because the Lord says, if you'll come after me, let you deny yourself. See, denying yourself basically means I'm going to take my hands off of this. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. But see, the list doesn't stop there. Deny himself. But you know what happens after we deny ourselves? He says, take up your cross. See, when you identify with Jesus Christ today, sometimes it's popular. Our culture's, of course, in the shift. We all realize that. It's not as popular to say you're a Christian as it once was. But during this day, when you identify as a Christian, it meant that you were going to face persecution. It meant that hardships were coming your way. It meant that Peter was going to be crucified upside down not many years later. It meant the disciples were all going to be killed and martyred for the cause of Christ. But see, the Lord said, you want to come after me? First, you got to deny yourself. But let me tell you something. Number two, you got to take up your cross. And then the interesting thing is some of us have lived the Christian life long enough. And we've said, yes, Lord, I'm doing your will. And yes, Lord, I am denying myself and I picked up the cross. But you know what we have a habit of doing when we have our cross? We have a habit of complaining about the cross we have. It's almost like a badge of courage, like, well, you know what, I'm in the ministry, and this is just my lot in life. Or, you know what, I've been a Sunday school teacher, and I really don't really enjoy it, but I've been doing this for a long time. And it's almost like we think it's a badge of courage we have a cross. But look what the Lord says. Deny yourself, take up your cross. Then with that cross, still follow him. See, God doesn't promise a smooth sailing. He just promises he'll go with us. And the Lord said, if you'll deny yourself, you'll take up your cross, you'll follow me, then I will take care of you. And here's my message tonight. I want to get to just a couple points here. Number one, there is always a cost to gain a profit. there's always a cost if you're going to gain a profit. I remember we invested, y'all ever seen those sock guys that have blowers on the bottom and just kind of flap up in the air? We invested in those. I remember we bought like 100 or 150 huge bean bags one day, and those things were so nasty, the bags were. And every week, every day, we had to go out and basically take 100 bean bags and stack them as tall as we can. That was all fun until the wind came in. That was a lot of fun. They're blowing across the main road. But the other reason why we did it, because we recognized we had to advertise. We recognized we had to do something to get people into our store. But that meant when we actually made money, we didn't make everything we thought we made. And I want you to consider in the Bible a few different characters. The man Joseph. See, Joseph realized there was a cost. One day a woman named Potiphar's wife came to Joseph and said, "Lie with me." And Joseph realized that there was a cost. Joseph could have a moment of pleasure and he could do a sin. But see, he was thinking more about the long-term profit. And Joseph realized, if I take this right now and I get a temporary gain, if I do something that gets me ahead that makes me feel good now, I won't see the profit then. See, Joseph was thrown in jail, but it wasn't many years later, was it, that Joseph ends up being second in command and saving all nations of the earth because God profited his life even though he didn't take the temporary gain. There's a man named Daniel. Remember, Daniel refused and said, "I'm not going to eat the king's meat." And Daniel could have faced death, but Daniel said, "Look, I understand there's a profit to be made here and I can be gained and I can get in the king's favor, but I'm going to count the cost and realize that there is a cost, and that means I'm not going to eat the king's meat. I'm not going to do what the king said to do." There's men in the Bible, three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just imagine being there when the music's played and not bowing. They said, "You know what? There's a cost." And they faced certain death, but here's what they said. "I will not get the gain. I will not gain a little bit of notoriety. I will not be like everybody else, and I will not gain a couple more weeks on earth or days on earth or hours on earth. I'm thinking of the profit." And the prophet was that God was going to bless them and God was going to change a king's heart and change really a people because they took a stand for God and were considering the prophet. There's a man named David. See, David came to battle. Do you remember that? And his brother said to him, what are you doing here? Who did you leave your little sheep with, David?" And David asked this question, "Is there not a cause?" David said, "There's something in my life and I don't care about your ridicule. There's a cause, and that cause was that all the earth may know that Jesus Christ is God. That all the earth may know there's a God in Israel." And David said, "I don't care about the gain. I'm considering the profit." If you take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. One of my favorite passages. It's convicting when you think about it. Hebrews chapter 11, of course, is the hall of faith, we'd call it. And the Bible refers to a man named Moses. And we know Moses had his fault. Moses killed a man out of anger. But the Bible says in the Old Testament there wasn't another prophet like Moses. There just wasn't another Old Testament prophet like the man Moses. Chapter 11, verse number 23. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years," here it is, "refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." See, Moses said, "I don't want to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm an Israelite. I am a Hebrew." And do you realize the cost that Moses faced? Keep on reading. Verse 25, "choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God." Moses said, "Look, I understand that I'm not going to benefit from this, but in my mind, I'm thinking about the future. In the future, I am looking," and keeps on going here. He says, "choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season." Verse 26, "esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." He said, "Look, I'm recognizing that the reproach of Christ, my cross, is of greater value than anything Egypt has to offer me." And then he says this, "for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." See, Moses said, "I'm not taking any temporary pleasure. I'm not going to give up my future. I'm not going to give up my life because there's a certain gain I can get right now." And you may be saying, "Jesse, what does this have to do with seniors?" Here's the entire message. The message is for every one of us. In our life, every day we make decisions, and we have to make the decisions based on two things. What's the temporary gain, and what's the real profit? See, God asked the question, he said, "What does a man gain if he gained the whole world?" Let's just be honest. Most of us live our lives, and what we are doing is we are trying to gain the whole world, although we're not trying to get everything, but our lives are totally consumed with getting and getting and getting. And as teenagers, I taught them in schools, and I taught them, and here's all that matters to teenagers at this point. Well, they want to follow God, yes. But all that matters to teenagers at this point is they want to get a job. They want to go to college. Why? So they can get a job and they can make good money. And they want to have a nice house. And then they're like, oh, but I also want to have a family. But you see, the thing that drives us all is money. Now, why does money drive us? Because, see, money is my comfort. Money is me saying, I'm going to do my thing. And by the way, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with money. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to college and getting a good job and having money. But I'm saying this, if we don't consider the profit, we may have gain, but we may lose things that matter more than we could ever have thought. I wrote down three or four things here, that things that you cannot be. God asks a question. He says, what does a man give in exchange for his soul? Three or four things you cannot exchange. Number one, you cannot exchange your soul. There was a rich man one day, and he had lots of food, and he went to put in his barn, and the barn was full. And he said, what am I going to do? I have these big barns. I have nowhere. And he said, this will I do. I will tear down my barns, and I will build greater. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good left for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord looks at him and says, thou fool. And then he says this, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then he asks a question, a simple word. Then who shall those things be which thou hast? See, this man spent his entire life thinking, I got to gain, I got to gain, I got to get, I got to get, I got to get. But he never considered there's some things you can't exchange. I hate to say it, but that man's in hell today. And I guarantee you, if he could talk to you, he would say, it doesn't matter how much fruit, it doesn't matter how big your barn is, it doesn't matter about any of that stuff. All that matters is your soul and have you dealt with your soul. You may be here tonight and you may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You may be living the rat race as so many of us get caught up in. May I tell you that all that doesn't matter? Because one day you'll stand before God and it'll be a really simple question. Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I tell you, everything else in life is just gain. There'll be no profit. Another thing you can't be exchanged for is your marriage. Your marriage. See, it's so easy for us to get so caught up in so many things trying to get ahead and trying to get ahead. And sometimes we sacrifice the things that matter most. You can't be your life can't be exchanged for your marriage. I wrote down your family. Your family. Man, I often think, just this week in Knoxville, Tennessee, a church was a large church. Was found out that the children's pastor was involved, a 46-year-old man, involved in some horrible thing. Got arrested and brought great reproach to his church. You know, the first thing I thought about was that man's family. I thought about that man. He lived his entire life, and he might have had lots of gain, but there was no profit because he lost the things that matter most in life. I wrote down a clean and a pure conscience. Look, you can do everything you can do to get ahead in your job, and you can do everything in your life to get ahead, but you cannot exchange those things. It doesn't matter how hot, how you get. There's no exchange for a clean and a pure conscience. And I wrote down, finally, the will of God for your life. See, the greatest danger, I've been told, is not Christians doing bad things necessarily. It's Christians succeeding in things that are not God's will. Let me say that again. The greatest danger in our life is not bad things in our life. We know those things are wrong. But it's when we do things that are not God's will for our life. See, our life is so very simple. The question is, what does God have for my life? Can you with certainty say that you are right now doing God's will? If you can, there's profit. There's profit in that. If not, the danger is we can live our entire life trying to get and trying to get and trying to get and get to a point where we can do God's will, but actually missing God's will in the end. Can we turn to one last passage and finish here tonight? Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And here is the prophet. Chapter 3, verse number 11. The Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, and then he says wood, hay, and stubble. So he's saying that all of us with our lives are building something. We're putting some cost and we are building something, but someday, this is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. When we stand before God, and he says, if any man build wood, hay, and stubble, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, verse 13, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If you mark in your Bible, would you mark the word sort? See, our entire lives, we think about God's going to measure us based on the size of what I do. I can get so caught up thinking, I want to have a big youth group. I can get so caught up thinking, I want to do this. And we can get so caught up in all these things that really don't matter. And God says, someday, we take our last breath here on earth, we'll stand before God. And God said, every one of our works will be tried. It'll be tried by fire. And it will melt like wood, hay, and stubble. And we'll stand before God, many of us. And many things we did that didn't matter, we did them for the wrong reason, the wrong motive, and they had no eternal significance. They may have been a great gain here on earth, but there'll be no profit in heaven. Then God says he's going to try those works of what sort it is. You know what our life is all about? My life should be all about bringing glory to God. You say, how could you bring the greatest glory to God by living and doing God's will? I'm from Hagerstown, Maryland. Some of y'all know that. If you were going to go visit Maryland, most of y'all really wouldn't know where to go. If you were going to Maryland right now and you were going driving through there, you'd probably have some questions about where to go, where not to go. And some of us would be like most men are, and I don't want to ask for directions. I don't want anyone to tell me where to go. And we drive all around. But there's some place in Hagerstown, Maryland, you wouldn't want to go at nighttime. We lived in Knoxville, Tennessee for a long time. Some of the teenagers in here could laugh about this, but I took the teenagers through some parts of town where you would not want to go, and we were driving the church bus. And the reason why I went there is because I knew them and they knew me. But if you didn't know them, you wouldn't want to go that way because it wouldn't be the part of town you want to go to. And I use this to make an illustration. See, we live our lives and we think we can figure it out. We think we got it all figured out. I don't need anyone else to tell me. But did you ever stop to think about there's a God who knows exactly what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do, where you're supposed to go, where you're not supposed to go? And there's a God in heaven who wants all that for us. But all that God wants from us is to simply, very first, deny yourself. Seniors, your life is not all about you. A matter of fact, your life is not about you at all. I'm glad you worked hard in school. I'm glad you come for the youth department. But if you've learned anything, you should learn this, that you don't know anything. The older I get, I realize the more I know, the less I think I know. Or the more I know, the less I really do know. Because when I get myself in the way, it just messes everything up. Seniors, the greatest thing you can do, the greatest advice I can give you is simply deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow after the Lord who wants your best for your life. But all he's asking you to do is simply take your hands off the driving wheel and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Maybe you're 50 or 60 or 70 years old here tonight. I don't know who you are tonight. But maybe you're sitting there and you lived your entire life trying to get ahead and trying to get a gain. And maybe you realize tonight that you really haven't considered the profit. We stand before God. It won't matter how much we had. It will matter one thing. Was it God's will? Did I do what God called me to do in his word? I know this. I want my life to be sifted by God's will. I want to ask God the question, Lord, is this what you'd have me to do? And if the answer is no, I don't want to do it because there's no profit. I want to stand before God someday and I want God to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. I don't want to stand in the judgment seat of Christ and see it all sifted through and the fire get done and blow it out and there's nothing to give the Lord because everything was for the wrong motive. What is your life? Would you consider the prophet this evening? Let's all stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Have an invitation tonight. Consider the prophet. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the word of God. And Lord, I'm asking you tonight, Lord, would you please do business with our hearts? Lord, in my own life, help me, Lord, not to just consider the temporary gain. But oh God, oh Lord, I pray you'd help me to consider, Lord, what truly matters in life. Lord, I pray for families. I pray for seniors. Lord, may each of us, Lord, may you do business in our hearts. Bless this invitation. In Christ's name, amen.